Hello, everyone, and welcome to the call. I'm Steve Siebold, and we're going to go ahead and dive right in to the topic tonight, which is really an opportunity, I believe, of a lifetime if you want to be a speaker, trainer, coach, or consultant, or all of those things. And I just want to start off by saying I know we have seven-figure speakers on the call because I know some of you guys are on the call. We have six-figure speakers, and we have people who have never been paid for a speech in their life, but their dream is to become a professional speaker or trainer, coach, consultant, or all of those things. So I want to just start the call by talking about what's going on in this industry. Again, some of you are going to know this, and some of you, you know, are new to the industry, so you wouldn't know. So in a nutshell, here it is. And I just want to say before that I've had a chance to really get some great information that I didn't have access to before. In December of last year, the National Speakers Association appointed me to be the chairman of the 2011 Million Dollar Speakers Group, which is a group of speakers in the National Speakers Association who have to prove that they've earned at least $1 million in speaking fees in the previous 12 months. And NSA is so serious about this that when they started the group last year, they actually, and they continued it this year, they've actually made all of us submit our profit and loss statements, and they're evaluated by a major accounting firm in the Phoenix area. So there's no way to fake it or phony it or anything like that. So a lot of the big talkers in the business didn't qualify, and the people that are very, very successful, even in the worst year in the history of the speaking business, we've got, just to give you an idea, we have 27 members. The meeting is in Anaheim, California, in a couple of weeks, and we've got 27 qualified members. That's 27 qualified members out of 5,000 people worldwide in National Speakers Association. That just gives you an idea right there where the speaking business is. I can tell you last year when they started the group, I was in the group and there were 21 of us. So it gives you kind of an idea where the speaking business is at. The speaking business is experiencing its worst year in the history, the 60-year history of this industry. That's the bad news. I guess part of the bad news also is that a lot of speakers have gone out of business or gone back to work at a regular job or back to corporate America where they came from a lot of times, or started another business, or just, I know people have just retired and just left the industry because it's changed so much since the Great Recession. And I know that sounds like a bad thing, but in my opinion, I don't mean to sound harsh about this, but it's actually one of the best things that's ever happened, in my opinion, to the professional speaking business, and here's why. It's a correction that needed to happen. And I don't mean to sound, again, harsh about it or, you know, unfeeling to the people that experienced, you know, trauma in their business or went out of business. But the people that left the business or people that were no longer able to work in this industry were typically the people in the middle, the people that were talking about concepts that were 30 and 40 years old. And they were regurgitating Think and Grow Rich or talking about some basic topic that they were getting hired on when the business was flush up until 2008. I mean, it, you know, if you had a pulse in a 40-minute speech, you could make a living in this business. Well, that's all changed. It's like the housing market. It's a bad thing. All of us have lost a lot of money in the housing crash, including me. I've lost several million dollars in equity, like a lot of people in this housing market. But I mean, the objective reality, at least in my opinion, says that even though I lost money like everybody else, it's a correction that needed to happen because the prices were overinflated and the market has to correct itself like the stock market, like any market. It's just like the gold and silver markets are not correcting themselves as well. So it just is what it is. But the good news, that's kind of the bad news, if you will. The correction is, I guess you could say it's good or bad news depending on the way you look at it. I look at it as good news because here's the reality of what's occurring right now, today, in the speaking business. You've got far fewer speakers than you had before. Again, sort of the middle-of-the-road people are gone. They're either gone or they're almost out of business and will be by the end of the year. No question about that. But here is the great news. This isn't even good. This is great. The great news is that companies are still experiencing the same problems, and in some cases, more problems than ever before. And of course, the reason is because we're all living in unprecedented times. We're in an completely unclear economic climate, as we all know. We all know the story, so I won't go into, you know, the economy and all that, because we all know what's going on. But nobody knows really what's going to happen. So there's fear in corporate America, and there's uncertainty, which is a perfect combination for the people in our business who come in as thought leaders and say, hey, consider my solutions. And that's really what we do. And then we deliver our solutions to match their problems, and sometimes they like them and sometimes they don't. And if they do like them, typically you're never going to leave that company or you're going to be there for a long time. And that's really the best news of all. I mean, I just spoke for a company recently, one of the biggest companies in the world, $52 billion company, and the president of the company was in the room when I spoke, as well as the board of directors. And this is one of the, I'm not going to name the company because I don't want to say too much here, but because he may hire me back, who knows. But I had 6 hours in front of this company president, and the president said to me, we have 105,000 employees. We're in unprecedented territory, Steve. We don't know what to do next because we've never operated in this kind of turbulence. And we're hoping you've got some ideas in terms of what you do in terms of our executive team and our sales team moving forward. And we think mental toughness is one of the things that we really need to look into as we move forward. And he was right. I mean, it was one of the things in the surveys, well, within the research we did with the company before the speech I gave, or for the seminar I did, for I did a 6-hour program we called Mental Toughness University. And there was no question that these guys really needed to step up their level of mental toughness, as the president did, and so did the board. And I pounded on these guys, literally for six, not literally, but verbally for 6 hours, talking about upping their game. Well, that provides a lot of value. And again, this is something that the top speakers are doing. So here's what we basically have. We have fewer speakers. Okay, now think about this. I mean, you don't have to be a math major or an economics professor to get this equation, but you've got fewer speakers, okay, and you've got more problems with the clients, with the companies. They've got more problems than ever. Okay, so what's the missing piece of variable in the equation? The money. Okay, well, the economy's tight. Okay, well, the economy might be tight for the consumer, but in terms of corporate America, the economy's not tight at all. And if you keep up with this stuff, you know this already, or if you're in this business, you already know what I'm going to say next. And if you don't, you might not. But here's the reality. Corporate America is now sitting on over $2 trillion in cash. $2 trillion. I believe that's $2,000 billion in cash. Now, if you're not familiar with the numbers, that's more cash than adjusted for time, okay? More cash than the companies have been sitting on than in any of our working lifetimes, more specifically since 1959, okay, when everything was so flush, it was unbelievable. Well, now they're sitting on cash, not because everything is so flush, just because they're afraid. They don't know what to do next. They don't know where to spend the money, but the important thing is they've got the money. It's there. If you're hearing in the speaking business that the companies aren't hiring speakers because they don't have the money, you're listening to the wrong people. I can tell you, because the money is there. I can tell you, the people I've talked to in the Million Dollar Speakers Group at NSA, and I've been talking to a lot of them recently because our meeting's coming up, again, in a couple weeks here in Anaheim, they're all telling me to a person that this is the best year they've ever had. Now, if you go talk to 100 speakers on the street, just average speakers on the street, you know, making an average living, they'll tell you this is the worst year in the history of the business, which overall it is. But all that money is rolling up to the top 1% of speakers. Okay, so as we all know the saying, the rich get richer and the poor get poor. But in this case, it's justified because what's happening is the top speakers are bringing the value. Because our business has changed. When I say our business, I mean the speaking industry has changed from a marketing model that, let's say pre-2008, you put up a website. A lot of speakers did this. They put up a website, and it was just fine, and they had a demo video showing them speaking and that type of thing so clients could see, and they did marketing on the internet, and you know, then the social media outlets came along, and that was good, and So they did marketing on that, and they did all kinds of little things like that. They joined conventions and visitors bureaus and networked with people and all those kinds of things, and went to speakers meetings, talked to speakers, did all those kinds of what I call peripheral marketing, basically, light marketing. And speakers came out of that. They could make $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, maybe $90,000 a year with that kind of light marketing because the market was so flush. From 2002 to 2007, speaking business, you know, you could, again, you could have a pulse in a 40-minute speech and make a living. And so they did. Well, that's all gone. That's all. Yeah, that is RIP. It's gone. It's over. It's never coming back, at least in my opinion, and the opinion of a lot of top speakers. This is the new norm. You know, I hope I'm wrong. I mean, I hope it comes back all the way, but we're not planning on it, nor do any of the economists we're talking to. When I say we, I mean the Million Dollar Speakers Group, because we're sharing a lot of information because we're all in the front here, and we have access to a lot of different people collectively. And so all the people we're talking to are saying this is the new norm in the speaking business. Okay, so what does that mean? Essentially, it boils down to one thing: referrals. Speakers are going to live and die. They've always lived and died at the top on referrals, but now you're going to need a referral almost exclusively to get into any company. It's not going to be about having a website or a demo video where someone says, hey, get a team building speaker. We'll spend $7,500 and find five demo videos, five speakers with websites with good demo videos, take the cheapest one or the one you like the best and hire them. That's over. It's gone. They're not hiring like that anymore because they're scared. They don't need someone to get up there and give some basic speech about the law of attraction or goal setting or think and grow rich. That's all gone. It's over. That basic, those basic things like that, those basic messages, I mean, when I say it's over, I'm probably I'm overgeneralizing probably. I mean, yes, there are a few unbelievably talented people who are going to take something very, very simple like that, and because they're so good on the platform and they're so they've got so much charisma, so much presence, a few of those people are going to still make a living and probably a good living. But in terms of the way it was pre-recession, it's gone. It's over. Those days are gone. Now it's going to take a referral probably from an executive to another executive to get us all in the door. Without the referral, we're probably not going to work. And so you've got all these problems with corporate America. They're richer than they've ever been in terms of cash, and you have fewer speakers to solve their problems. Okay, now if you're staying with me here, you know this is a very exciting time. Okay, if you're one of those people who can get referred, then you're in good, and you have a good program that some people or some organizations believe presents a good solution, then you're in great shape. As a matter of fact, you're probably going to make millions of dollars. That's just the bottom line, because there's fewer people that can do that. A lot of people can stand on stage unafraid and tell people to exercise more and eat less and think positive and set goals. That's all that stuff is good. It's all good stuff. It's just 100 years old. And every high school kid in America knows it. So those kinds of messages are pretty much gone in a tough environment. The executives already know that. The company, the employees already know that in the companies. We're not telling them something they don't know. What they're looking for now is thought leaders, not thought followers, not regurgitators, not basic positive thinking speakers. They are looking for leaders. Leaders, thought leaders with ideas that can make a difference. And to get them to look at their company, their product line, their processes, their people, and everything else in the equation of a company in a different way. They've been looking at it the same way, and it's been working for years. All of a sudden, the model is turned upside down for them as well. And they are confused, and they're not sure which way to turn. And all of a sudden, you come in as a thought leader, and they say, geez, I never thought about it that way before. I've never thought about our business in that way. And they say, here's the person we need to help us get through this, you know, as Larry Wilson says, permanent whitewater world or permanent whitewater economic environment or business environment. And that's where the thought leader really comes in, and that's where the opportunity is, and that's what this call is all about. Okay, so I'm saying all that to say this. If you're new in the business, and a lot of people are, there's 50,000 people try to break in this business every year, And that's why we, to some of you, are involved in SSN, the Siebold Success Network, which is a paid referral network. And that's not what this call is about. But some of you are involved in that, and that's why we did this, the SSN. We put it together because paid referrals are as good as regular referrals, because the client doesn't know if they're paid and doesn't care if they're paid. But all they know is they need a referral. So some of you have jumped on board with SSN. We've got about 200 members right now, and we're growing. But that's besides that. That's a different. We're not talking about that in this call. I just, you know, that's why we did that though, because we saw this coming. This you know, a couple of years ago, we saw the fact that this industry was switching to almost exclusively referrals, and now it pretty much is. When I say exclusively, I mean I haven't heard of someone getting hired on a video in 3 years. And I'm sure someone has gotten paid from a video, from another, hired from a demo video, but I haven't heard of it. And so it's not something that's going to happen very often anymore. So that's kind of where we're at. Okay, so if you want to get into the speaking business, you might be sitting there thinking, if you're new, or you're making a decent living, maybe you're making 100 grand a year, 150 grand a year, or something like that, and you think, well, you know, what's the potential? Is this industry done, or is it so dried up, or what is it? Oh no, it's actually more flush than it's ever been, except it's only flush for the top people, because they're for the reasons I just said. I guess I'm repeating myself here, because what they're looking for are leaders, and among speakers, the people that I classify speakers and trainers and coaches and consultants basically into two groups. One group are thought leaders, and the other group thought followers. And 95% of the speakers I know are thought followers. And in other words, what I mean by thought followers, they're repeating, they're following what has been written in the past, what has been talked about in the past, what's been discussed in the past. In other words, Think and Grow Rich, How to Win Friends and Influence People, whatever. And that's all fine. All that stuff works, and it's all great. But it's been done in the past. There's no thought leadership occurring when you're regurgitating the past. So that's the thought follower. The thought leader is taking old ideas and creating new interpretations designed to solve the new problems of the new economy. That's the difference. Okay? We're talking about an original versus a copy. Some of you are Bill Gove Speech Workshop graduates, and so you'll know this, and some of you won't, but we talk about in the workshop the difference between a commodity speaker and a personality speaker, and that's what we're talking about. Commodity speakers right now are just going out of business left and right, and they probably, and I mean, it sounds bad, but that's probably what should happen, because a commodity is not worth much in a bad environment, in a bad economic time, as we all know, any commodity. Well, unless it's not any commodity. I take it back. Silver and gold are doing fairly well. They're going up and down, but they're doing well. So there are commodities that are worth it. But in terms of the speaking business, thought followers are commodity speakers, and they're not worth a heck of a lot. If you want to hear more about this, go to freespeakingcourse.com, and you can learn about the difference in a commodity and a personality speaker. But essentially, we're talking thought leader versus thought follower. Okay, so now looking forward, going into the business, knowing all the stuff I just said, if you didn't know it before, now you look at the business and say, okay, what's the potential here? Should I do something else, or should I keep trying to get into the speaking business, or is it, you know, what would you recommend? Well, here's what I would recommend to you. If you see yourself as someone who can be a thought leader, there's no better time to get in this business. Okay, here's the problem. Establishing yourself as a speaker. Establishing yourself, your name, your content, and your reputation for original thought. Okay, that doesn't mean everyone's going to agree with you. So some of you follow my mental toughness blog and some of the other stuff we do. You see me on TV, whatever, and you know I've debated people on TV all over the world and radio and, you know, everything else. And there's tons of people, hundreds of thousands of people, if not more, that disagree with me. And so they would never hire me, just like they wouldn't hire you if they disagreed with you. And thought leaders are famous for being disagreed with by half of the population at least. But you're not going to get them all as a thought leader, but what we always say is you don't need them all. All you need are the people that believe in what your interpretation is and what your leadership is in terms of the idea, the interpretation, the solution to the company's problem. All you have to have there's a group of people that do that and that believe in what you're saying, and your career is made, basically. Here's the problem. If you're brand new and you're starting out, or you're making 50 or 100 grand a year, and no one knows you, essentially, you're not getting out there very much as a speaker, trainer, coach, or consultant. How do you tap into this referral base, for one? How do you get the credibility? Okay, so in a nutshell, this started happening more last year probably than any of, you know, this is really when I started noticing it. People said, geez, it was hard to break in before. Now it's really hard to break in. So what I did was I went back, you know, people were asking me for advice, and so I went back to my story, and I thought, well, you know, really, how did I really break into this business? How did I go from zero to $1 million? Some people say faster than any speaker in the business. I don't know if that's true or not. It doesn't matter. It's just an ego thing. But people have told me that before. I don't know if it's true. But whatever it is, you know, how did I go from zero to $1 million in such a income a year and so fast? And when I really dissected it, you know, it wasn't because I was so great or anything like that, or I was better than any other speaker that I passed, or, you know, whatever, you know, anything like that, really. When I looked at it, what it was, yeah, I worked hard at it. Yeah, I wanted this business. There's no question about it. I never took this business casually. I never treated it like a hobby. I've been good to this business. I mean, I'll just tell you that flat out. I've worked my ass off in this business, and anyone that knows me knows that's true. Okay, well, great. So that is what it is. That's true. But so have a lot of people. So that's not the only thing that makes it work. I've known a lot of people who worked really hard in this business, and I've known a lot of people that haven't. But I've known a lot of people that have, and they haven't made it. Most of them haven't made it. So, okay, so I worked hard. But that doesn't seem to be the only thing. Well, here was the other thing. I was able to leverage the credibility of someone who had massive credibility in this business, more than one person. The main person being my late business partner, the father of the speaking industry, Mr. Bill Gove, who some of you knew and some of you know of and whatnot. But for the first 5 years of my career, you know, Bill guided me and mentored me, and I was able to leverage his credibility. I was able to mention to every client, hey, Bill Gove is my business partner. If they didn't know who he was, because some of them didn't because he was out of the business for a while, they would find out who he was, and they'd say, well, gee, if this Siebold guy is connected with Bill Gove, he must be pretty good. And once I saw that happening, I started to expand within the Gove network, which was substantial. I can tell you, the father of an industry knows everyone. And if he doesn't know them, they know him. And so, in a nutshell, I was able to do the same thing with people like Bob Proctor and greats like Larry Wilson and Bill Brooks, and many, many others. And so the corporate clients started saying, well, I remember when Toyota, I got my opportunity with Toyota, which came through Larry Wilson, and Toyota said, well, if the great Larry Wilson endorses this guy, he must be really good. And then I got a shot, and I got in there, and with other companies, and I just kept leveraging their credibility into my credibility. And it worked. It made me a multimillionaire in this business. I mean, that's just what it is. Yeah, the hard work was there, but without the leverage, you know, would that have happened? I don't know. I mean, I'd like to think so, but I wouldn't want to bet money on it. I mean, maybe that sounds bad, but I wouldn't want to go back and do it again without it, let me tell you. All right, so all this being said, I was really looking at this last year, and I thought, you know, it's too bad I can't do this with other people, especially now. Well, okay, that was a year ago. So what I did a year ago was I put together a small group of people. I did a little conference call, very small group of people. I didn't want to do it with too many. I don't know how many people we had on the call, maybe 25 or something like that. And I offered them a chance, which I believe is really the chance of a lifetime. And when I say that, I don't mean that from an ego perspective. It's just in this business, that's just what it is. And the opportunity is this, is that in this business, you need proven content. And to create proven content takes years. When I say proven, I don't mean proven like, you know, you're proving it to yourself. I mean, major corporations are saying this works and it's different than anything we've ever seen. That's proven content in our business, because anything that they've seen before is not worth anything. They don't pay you, you know, $20,000 a day to present content that they've heard before. So it's unique, it's yours, and it's proven. Well, obviously that takes years. One of the biggest mistakes I made in the mental toughness piece of the puzzle is that I wanted to write my own content. I've always been a writer. I've always written since I was a little kid. I started entering writing contests and all this stuff. So I always wrote. You know, I've been writing, you know, since I was little. So I wanted to do it myself, and I had these ideas. And I had a lot of people in my network, big-time speakers, say, you ought to license someone's content because it takes years to get proven material. And I thought, well, how long can it really take? You know, I mean, I think all this stuff works because I did a lot of these things with professional athletes. Okay. Well, people who work in companies, I can tell you, are not professional athletes. Professional athletes are freaks of nature. I've worked with, you know, lots of them over the years, and they are not like anyone I've ever met in my life. They're freaks. They will do anything to get better. And, I mean, they will stay up 24 hours a day. They will go to the top of a mountain and sit there and pray if they think that's going to help them get a little better. Well, they're freaks. I mean, they're freaks of nature in a good way. And that's the stuff I used to help them with all the time because I was one of them, a low-level professional athlete, but I was still one of them, and I understood the mentality. So I sold that to them for years, and it worked. So I thought, well, that'll work with corporate America. Well, I was wrong. It didn't. It didn't at all. It scared them almost because that's not the intensity of a corporate employee. You know, they want to do well. They want to get better every time. They want to get raises. They want to, you know, they're ambitious. But taking it to that level, no. They're not going to take it to that level. So what I did was I took what I knew in professional sports and I brought it to corporate America and I scared the hell out of them. That's really what it is. And I say the word hell because that's what happened. I've scared the hell out of them. I mean, they looked at me like I was a freak, which I was a freak. And I probably still am. But because I grew up in that world. And it's the only world I ever knew were athletes. And then as I got older, great athletes, some of the best in the world. And it's a different mentality. And I thought, well, I lived in a bubble, and I thought, well, these companies, well, they're, you know, salespeople are the corporate athlete, the athletes of the business world. And I think to some degree that's true, but it's very much a degree thing. And it's not even close to the same degree, not even in the same ballpark whatsoever, okay? I won't go on more about that. But, yes, very smart, very educated, ambitious, nothing like a professional athlete, not even the same ballpark. So my point of the whole thing is I had really good content for professional athletes, but a lot of it broke down in corporate America. So what happened to me was I lost monster accounts. And I'll tell you, I lost companies like Jackson Hewitt Tax Services. I had a monster deal with that company. And I lost it because some of the stuff broke down very early in my career, and it just scared people. It was just too much. And it broke down, and I lost it because I didn't know better because I didn't understand the market as well as an advanced speaker would or someone had more experience. And I eventually lost Toyota over the same thing, and I lost Monster.com over the same thing. And I could rattle off about five more major companies you would know that are household names that I lost. Now, luckily, I was able to make them up. And revamp what I had for companies like Johnson & Johnson and, you know, all these other companies. I won't get into all that. But, you know, so it worked out for me. But how much money did it cost me? Millions of dollars. And it could have wrecked my career. I was very lucky that I was able to pull it out at the end of the day and pull a lot of that stuff away. But the bottom line is I was guessing because I really didn't understand the market. So all that being said, I know all this now. And going forward, I know what makes it work, and I know what makes it not work, and what makes it break down. And I know the market. So last year, with all these people calling us every single day, we get roughly 3,000 calls a year from people that want to be speakers. That's about average. And we've gotten even more, it seems like, not just people who want to be speakers, but people that are struggling in the speaking business since the crash in 2008. And we still get them every day, every emails and calls every single day from people struggling, you know, on their way out of business and they can't figure out how to make it work. And it's sad in a lot of ways because they're nice people and they're smart people, but they just don't have the goods and they're probably not going to make it. It's sad, but it is, you know, it is what it is. So last year when this was happening, I thought, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put together a small group of people, won't be big, and I'm going to make them an offer that if they really push it, if they really work at it, it could change or it could make them in this business. It could be that big of a deal. And the offer was this. I offered to license a small group of people, turned out to be six people, my mental toughness content. okay, which has been sold, as some of you guys know, all over the world for, you know, millions and millions of dollars and all that stuff. So it's all proven and all that. And so basically the license is everything in mental toughness that I have written, everything that I've spoken about, everything that I've trained all these big companies on, consulted, et cetera, et cetera. And I thought, I'll do that, but I'll take it one step further. I'll offer to license it to them. So all they basically have to do is stroke a check, and they have all that content, 20, 25 years of interviews, all the stuff. It's all proven, and they've just, boom, they've got it in one day. And so I thought, all right, what would be the second thing? I thought, okay, I'll create a license that is a license that has no royalties. So it's a one-time fee, so they don't have to pay me royalties, because that's good. Then I'll also create, I'll teach them how to take my content and turn it into their program. Because the downside of licensing any speaker's material is this. If you lead with, eventually, as you get into the business, at the beginning you lead with the person's name, and you say you can say you're a licensee because it helps you, because they don't know who you are. But once you start to make a name for yourself, you stop talking about the licensor stuff, whoever material you're licensing. You start talking about that, stop talking about that speaker, and now you start talking about you. Because you're trying to build your career and your personality speaking business, not the person you license the content from. Well, I don't actually know anyone, I could be wrong about this, but I don't know personally any speaker in this business, and I know most of the top speakers are licensed. I think I know almost every one of them in the country, in the U.S. anyway, that license content, and not one of them will allow you to do that. And I could be wrong. There could be someone who does it. I haven't ever seen that contract. There's not that many people that do this. There's probably 10 or 12 in the country that are major speakers. That have proven track records. Well, I'm not talking about people's licensing stuff. I mean proven multi-million dollar content is what I'm talking about. They force you to use their name because they want to promote their name. Well, the problem with that is you have the content, but now you're building someone else's name, and that's an issue. So what I thought was, okay, well, they can use my name initially to get them out there because I have credibility and they don't initially, at least in this business. And then eventually you bury the person's name, and you use the content. The content becomes the starting point of your content. And you build on top of that with your own unique content as you learn the business. And I came up with this one night, and I thought, this is great. This is a chance of a lifetime. And some of them will get it, and some of them won't. But I know it's a chance of a lifetime because I know the business. And I thought, that's great. And I thought, okay, then what else could I do, you know? And I came up with this idea. And it's a limited idea, but it's a big one. For people to do it. And that the idea was to say, all right, what I'll do to push it over is because they're going to need help, I'll offer to partner with them if they license the content for as many programs as they want me to do within reason. I'll partner with them on stage. And so I'll teach them the material, you know, the licensing program. They can buy the license, and that's their part. And my part is when they start selling speaking, training, consulting, coaching, if they want me to, if they don't want me to, they don't have to. But if they want me to, they can charge my fee, sell me, and I'll bring them on stage, or they can sell them, and I'll come on stage and show them how to do it, one or the other. It's a lot easier to sell a top speaker at $20,000 a day than it is to sell, you know, an unknown speaker at $1,000 a day, believe it or not, in a big company. Because big companies look at $1,000 a day and say, really, how good can he be? And they could be very good, but that's how they see it. So it's just one of those things that's kind of, you know, it's kind of counterintuitive, I guess, if you will. But bottom line is that's what I offered. And what happened was I think we had six people, and we did it last year, and then I made that offer, and everyone did well with it. But the guy that really knocked it out of the park was Dr. Alok Trivedi out of Chicago, who's one of the top chiropractors in the world, actually, which is incredibly impressive on its own. He's a relatively young guy and pretty amazing. So he was one of the people who wanted to license the content. I knew he would do well. We had everyone fill out applications, and he came in to license the content and went to town with this thing. And that's who I was referring to when you guys got the email about this call. So I've got Dr. Alok Trivedi on the call because we're going to do this licensing partnering program on a limited basis for a small group. We're only going to take 10 people who pass the application process. That's all we can take, just because we just can't take any more people this year than that. There's just no time to do it. But I asked Dr. Alok Trivedi to come on the call and just tell you guys what he did and see if it's something you can duplicate, because he's made a heck of a lot of money just on the side with this content. Dr. Aloka, you there?
Yeah, hey, Steve, how are you?
Hey, good. I appreciate you being on the call.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
If you would, just share your story with the group.
Yeah, sure. You know, it was, I remember that call that you're talking about. I remember it last year. I felt those, like, there were very few people. You know, it was really limited. And, well, nonetheless, I mean, you said pretty much what you just said already on the call, and I was already in. And, you know, I'd already thought about it. And, you know, and as I've watched your career, I've always said, okay, how do you get the opportunity to get up on stage and speak with someone else? Because that credibility is just amazing. Because it, in my opinion, it probably cuts the work out of trying to build your credibility off by a good 3 to 5 years. But nonetheless, so last year when you said that, you know, someone can license the material, I was already on board. And then you basically, what you did was you sweetened the pot by giving it an opportunity to speak on stage and do as many programs as, you know, within reason, of course, with the person to teach them how to speak. And so, you know, I did it last year. It was probably, I'm not sure if it was, I think it was August around last year that I took the license. And, you know, being, you know, I guess relatively successful in the chiropractic world, I have people coaching me, asking me to coach them all the time, and I've never really wanted to coach anybody. It was never never my interest to go into the coaching world with chiropractic or anything like that. But, you know, there was a point when I came back after the licensing portion, after you offered the license to me, and I said, you know what, I've got an entire system. I've already got a proven turnkey system, and I basically, I remember telling three guys, I said, okay, if you guys really want me to do this, you guys got to put 10 people together and, you know, fine, I'll do it. And it was basically, it was the entire Mental Toughness University program. That's what I took. And from that, over the course of that last almost year now, we've generated a little over almost $80,000 from that alone, working one hour every 2 weeks, which is kind of cool. I like that. But so we did that. And then one of the other things that I thought is that, you know, I wanted to, obviously, you know, my primary bread and butter at this point is still, you know, my practice and running, seeing patients and that, and running that entity. And I thought, you know, what about a concept that I can implement a lot of your materials, like the Die Fat or Get Tough, that book, and create a whole weight loss program around that, and creating, you know, a world-class patient versus a middle-class patient, and really delineating it in my current form of business rather than not just the speaking side of things. Because, of course, that was the next level. We started doing that, and I implemented it into my current business structure, and I ended up, basically, as of September last year, when I did, we've been able to translate a $10,000 increase in gross revenue every month since then. And I would have to say that it's all attributed to the material and the content and putting on these Die Fat or Get Tough weight loss programs in the office, because we sell them on back end on care and things like that. So we're able to see relatable income. You know, I came back and every time I do some sort of a program, I kind of have a timeline as to when I want to make my investment back. And within 2.5 months, I had made my money back 100%. So I was in profit, you know, I was in the black, as they say, from that point forward. And over the last year, I mean, I can't tell you, you know, right now we've spoken, I think, on 6 different platforms together with Steve, corporations, business companies, associations, public events, and Steve and I have been able to share the stage. We did an event recently here. I'll tell you about this event that Steve and I did, and it was in Washington, D.C. I think it was the National Deaf Conference, National Business the Business Conference for the Deaf. That's exactly. And I got to tell you, if you're on this call, I say this with no hype, no exaggeration, no nothing more than this. The introduction from Steve Siebold was the most amazing thing in transference of credibility I had ever experienced in my life. I was during the breaks, people were taking me to the side and taking pictures of me. I mean, I was signing Steve's book, you know, pretty much simultaneously right next to Steve. You know, we're both signing his book, and I thought, I don't have a book. I don't have the credibility of material, but Steve introduced me, and I saw people taking my picture as if I was at the same level as Steve. And I got it to, and I've been getting it the whole time. Every time we do a program, we spoke once, another time in Orlando, and the same thing was happening. I mean, we got off after the program, and people were coming up to me as if I was at the same level as Steve Siebel, because the introduction and being on the same platform, Steve saying that this is the guy you have to listen to. I tell you, Steve, I've never actually said this to you, but I think it's probably knocked a good 3, 5, maybe even 7 years off my career being able to do that. And I look at it, everything in a form of money and in a form of business. And, you know, if the goal is $7 million, if the goal is a $1 million business, that's $7 million that I'll save just by doing that. So what I can say with respect to this license, you know, my wife and I were talking about it. I remember talking to her about it and before we did it. And she said, okay, is this what you want to do? And I said, yeah, 100%. And she said, well, why? I said, you know, I want to speak into the corporate world and this and that, and I want to speak into business. I enjoy business. And I thought, if I had a company, say, okay, well, where have you spoken? What do you do? Where do you, what's your credibility in your product? And I don't have anything. Well, why would they hire me? You know, why would I walk into a situation when asking for $1,000 or $3,000 for a day program, when I can walk in asking for 20, and saying that I've been in companies like Procter & Gamble. This program has been proven, tested, and worked in Procter & Gamble, Johnson & Johnson, Toyota, Yamanuchi, all these major companies, Fortune 500 companies. It's going to raise the brow of any sales VP that we look at. Any person that I want to speak to, it's going to say, you know what, well, okay, let's talk about that. Right now, I can tell you that I'm in conversation with 4 major Fortune 500 companies that I would not have even got to the conversation table if I didn't have the name Steve Siebel. Right now, if I get on the phone, I say I'm partners with a gentleman named Steve Siebel. He's written the book 177 Secrets of Mental Toughness, and we're business partners. And we do a program called Mental Toughness University. If they've never heard of him, you know, why don't you go to our website? It's called Steve on TV, and you can take a look at it and see what it's about and see who he is and the work that he's done. And if you're interested in talking a little bit further about what we do, I'd love to open the opportunity for a conversation. And that's all I really have to do. I don't have to go in there selling, hi, I'm Dr. Alok Trivedi. I've run one of the largest chiropractic clinics in the world. And to corporate America, they don't care. To corporate America, I mean nothing with that. To corporate America, with this credibility, with Steve's program, I mean, it's worth millions overnight. And to be able to do it with you, Steve, and I've never really shared this with you because usually we don't get sentimental, I guess, but it's priceless, the learning and the opportunity that comes every time you get off the platform with Steve when he says, you know, Alok, okay, let's try it this way. Let's try you coming saying your vignette this way. Let's try this tone. Let's try coming in a little bit stronger here. And you said it earlier in this call, and I believe that's the greatest way to learn is in the process. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, but I think that's probably where you got, I've never asked you this, but that's probably where you got the most learning is when you were on stage with Bill. Am I wrong in saying that?
No, that's absolutely right. Guys, I've been on stage with guys like Bill Gove, Larry Wilson, Bob Proctor, you know, Bill Brooks. You just can't, I mean, you're learning it from most successful people out there. It's just you just watch what they do. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, you watch what they do and you get their critique, and they're live, they're on the spot, they see you, rather than, you know, you send doing a video somewhere in Tulsa and sending it over to Steve in Atlanta. It's not the same effect. When you get off the stage and it's right there and you're debriefing about the actual program, that you're just taking notes, and you got pages and pages of notes that you're looking at that you go back and reflect to. And it's absolutely priceless to be able to do something like that and get that, share that stage with the man. And I couldn't believe my wife was at the program with me. And she's like, wow, people are signing, you're signing people's autographs, you're signing autographs, you're taking pictures of people. I thought, yeah, I said, this is kind of cool. I really wasn't expecting that, but I saw, you know, for that luster moment, I saw the credibility transferred and how it works. And today, even, you know, even because of that, I get people on Facebook and things like that that are now following me because of that. So that's really my story. That's kind of what's happened, transpired, I guess, Steve, in the last 12 months as of this partnership and this, since I've done the license.
Well, I appreciate you telling it and coming on. And, you know, and I know you said, I think you said to me, and we sent out the email, you'd made about total about $173,000 over the last year. Is that accurate, about that much?
That's about accurate. I think it's, truthfully, I think it's a little more, but from what I can calculate as a tangible number, it's this.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
It's about 172,340. Yeah, 172,340, I think it was the number. I don't have it in front of me,
okay.
But...
Well, you're going to make a lot more, and I congratulate you on doing the work, because a lot of people talk about doing the work in this business, but I knew you'd actually go out and do it. So let me just ask you this question before we wrap this call. I'm just going to wrap up and tell these guys, you know, kind of what we're looking at, but any advice you would give anyone, let me table it for a second. Let me tell them the rest of it, and then I'm going to ask you this question at the end, because I think I want to give them the rest more information and then maybe your advice will help them make a decision on if they want to apply for this license or not, if you would. Can you stay on for a second?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, you guys, I mean, that's really, you know, this is really the whole thing. It's a leveraging of credibility. You know, it's what the wealthy have done for years. They leverage credibility. They leverage their money. They leverage their contacts. They leverage everything they got, and they get richer. It's the thing I've learned more than anything else from the wealthy. I spoke the other night in Atlanta. I was telling this group about this. I said, leverage. It's the one word. It took me all these years to learn from the rich. But that's what this really comes down to. I leveraged Bill Gove. Alok Trivedi leveraged me. And now you guys have a shot to do the same thing, and then someday hopefully someone can leverage you, and you know, we all help each other. Like Bill Gove used to talk about, you know, when you get up to where you want to go in the business, the best thing you can do is reach a hand down and see if you can help pull someone up, because it's a heck of a tough business to break into. One of the things that Alok mentioned, I wanted to mention to you guys, if this is something you're interested in, is our brand new website, which is another form of leverage. And of course, this is something you can take major advantage of, and I can tell you Alok Trivedi will take advantage of it, because he gets the concept. And that's steveontv.com. steveontv.com. You can go to that website. It's basically, right now it's got 60 or 70 of the TV shows I've been on in the last year and a half. From all over the world, and that's all the site is. It's all showing clips of me on television all over the world on ABC, NBC, CNN, you know, all that stuff. So that's the whole site. That's all it's about. Doesn't sell anything, doesn't do anything. It just shows prospective clients all these endorsements, all these recommendations, all these live interviews from all over the world on television. So why would we put a site together like that? Credibility. Now, if you're a licensee, you obviously can leverage the credibility of that website. To do the publicity for that website and put that whole website together ran me roughly $200,000. And I won't get into the math of it, but between all the publicity, the all the expense, that's about what it costs to do something like that in about a year and a half. So and that all is leverageable for you. And that's the whole idea, is that you let someone else do all the work for a long time, and then you write a check and leverage their work and then their credibility. It's a great way to do it. I did it with Bill Gove. I did it with other people. Alok did it with me. And it's something, if you want to do, it's it could be a pretty good thing if that's what you want to do. And the rest of it, you know, again, is like Alok said, is that if you're willing to go out there, take the content, willing to go out there and sell you or sell me or sell both of us together, whatever you think is easiest, at my fee level, you're going to get half of my fee level. My keynote fee is $15,000, okay? My training fee, my 6-hour training fee is $20,000. My average consulting contract is $350,000 to $500,000 a year, okay? You're going to get half of that, of any of those deals, if you sell those deals and we go in and do them as a licensee, okay? That's one offer I promise you. You will never hear from another speaker the rest of your life. No one's going to do that. And, you know, the reasons I want to do it is because I this is what I was able to get from Bill Gove and some of these other guys, and I never heard of anyone else having those kinds of opportunities, but it's something I want to do to try to give back to people, especially now, because it's a rough road to go on your own. So that's the opportunity. Basically, here's what we're going to do going forward. We've obviously got, we can only take 99 people on this call, but we already have over 130 people that have emailed that said they want to be on the call, but they weren't fast enough. And we have more people from all over the world that want to be. We probably are talking about roughly 300 to 400 people that were interested in this concept. We can only take 10. The reason is because of logistics, because we can only do so many dates with so many people and all that. But we're going to take 10 people, and the way we're going to choose the people is we have an application. It's not a application for Harvard University or anything like that. It's not 10 pages long. But the idea is we want to take the most qualified people. The people I'm looking for, you guys, I'll just give it to you straight. I'm looking for the next Dr. Alok Trivedi. That's what I'm looking for. What does that mean? I'm looking for someone who's smart, focused, and is willing to go to work and make this happen. I don't want to just sell licenses and have you disappear, because that's a waste of time and a waste of money, you know, for all of us. If you want to do this and you're hungry like you, I knew he would go out and do this. There was no question in my mind. And those are the kind of people, you know, that we're looking for. We're not looking for people who just have too much money on their hands and want to write a check, or someone that thinks that they're going to write a check for, the license and it's just going to happen, and all this, or I'm going to sell it for them or anything else. This is something, you know, we want the right people here, because obviously, just spending time and money for no good reason is a bad idea. And I don't want to water down the content. It hurts the other licensees in the program anyway. So we've got a small application that if you want to take a shot at this, you can fill out. The license fee, I should tell you, I forgot to tell you, I'm sorry. The license fee is $25,000. $25,000. It's a one-time fee. There are no royalties, and you have it for life. Okay, most licenses repeat. You'll pay a royalty, and you'll pay a fee like in 4 or 5 years to re-up the license. There's no re-up fee. There's no royalties. This is for life. You've got it. Once you write the check, you're done. Okay? So if you've got the idea that you can turn 25 into 100, apply for this. If you don't apply. Okay? Because you don't need to spend 25 grand. I don't care if you're rich or poor. You don't need to spend 25 grand, in my opinion, unless you can turn it into 100. Now, Alok turned it into 173 his first year, and they'll probably do double this year, and then in the next 12 months. But he knew that up front. So if you feel like you can do that, then it'd be a great investment, and if you don't, it won't be. That's the criteria I would judge it by, but that's completely up to you. If you're interested in this, send me an email. It's steve@ssnlive.org. steve@ssnlive.org, and say you want an application. Send me an application is all you have to say, okay? A mental toughness, an MT application. And we'll get it over to you. You fill it out. And the deadline for these applications is going to be midnight July 19th, which is this Tuesday. Okay, so you don't have a heck of a lot of time, but it's not going to take you more than about a half an hour to fill it out at that, okay? So steve@ssnlive.org, send me an application. I'll email it over to you. And then we'll get in touch with you. If you're one of the people selected, we'll get in touch with you. And the actual training is going to be in late August in Atlanta. It's going to be August 26th or the 28th in Atlanta. It's a 3-day training period training process for the license. Okay? So that's pretty much the details. And then the last thing I want to close out with before we close the call is, Alok, some people, obviously, there are some people are interested, some people, the $25,000, is too much for them, the other people, it just depends, got all kinds of different people on the call. But for people that are saying, hey, I'm thinking about this, maybe I should do it, but, I'm not sure, you were probably thinking that last year at some point, any advice to help them make a decision either for it or against it?
Well, I can tell you, I never did waiver. To be perfectly frank, I never did waiver. Because I knew the opportunity that sat in front of me.
Waited with Bill Gove either.
Yeah,
I hate to say it like that, but I never did. People, I had my shot, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me! I got to think about this, really?
Yeah, there was no waiver. So I don't mean to sound like a little arrogant with it, but there was no waiver. I mean, you presented that, and I think you said fill in the application, and I had the application into you within like 20 minutes.
Yeah, I remember that.
But what I can tell you is that, $25,000, I guess there's two different ways of looking at money and two different ways of looking at this opportunity and every opportunity, I guess. I look at it as an opportunity to learn, to grow, to build business. And Steve, I don't know if you touched on this, but, I think you grazed over it, but let me just kind of say this as well, because I know that if you're still doing it this way, but the beauty is that you can take this content and now produce it as your own. You can change it, and you can build on it and create who you are, but now you've got things and tools and products that work that you don't have to try and retest, and then you can create your brand with it, your name. As you said, you know, you can drop, you know, one day, you know, they'll get to a point where you drop Steve, where I drop Steve's name as, and with the credibility, and then it'll be my own name. But the material will always be, you know, to a degree, will be the stuff that I've licensed for you, and then I would bring my own stuff in it as well. So, you know, I think a lot of people, I can tell you the one thing that people probably think is that, you know, I don't want to be just the mental toughness licensee, and I don't want to be, that's not all I want to be with my life. I want to be my own independent entity. Well, you can. That's the beauty about this. Am I mistaken with saying that, Steve?
No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, you
that's,
can.
That's the beauty of it, yeah.
That's the beauty about it. I mean, who's going to give you that kind of opportunity to take the material, change it to your own name, put your name on it, create it, and then add to it as time progresses, as you mature and grow and do all those things with it? That to me was more than anything else. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I mean, taking that and then building around it. But then, so my point is that, you know, looking at money in two different ways, I guess, $25,000, I looked at it as saying, okay, all I need is one consulting agreement, and I've profited tremendously. That's the only way I looked at it. I said, okay, I got to sell one agreement. I got to sell basically at $25,000. I got to sell basically two training days. I sell two training days. I've made my money back.
Right.
And then I came back and I saw different opportunities with it that I didn't see before. I went to the training and came back and I said, oh, I can implement that in my current business. And, you know, not to sound a little cliche-ish, but I know you would say this as well. So, with respect to Bill Gove, I mean, your partnership with Bill Gove changed your life, and there's no question. I think that buying the mental toughness license was the smartest move I ever did, you know, next to becoming a doctor.
Oh, no, so Bill Gove's, I mean, the partnership made my career. There's no question about it. And people said that to me, like, they were challenging me over the years in audiences, like, he made your career. I'm like, yeah. The partnership, the association made my career because, as you said, you know, for the first few years, it was like, well, Steve's, what's his name? He's Bill Gove's partner. You know, Bill Gove's partner. You know, he's in business with Bill. That was the first probably 3-4 years in my business, and all of a sudden, our business, and all of a sudden it was like, oh, yeah, Steve Seymour. Yeah, Steve talks about mental toughness. Bill talks about public speaking and sales. And then all of a sudden, it was me. And that was the plan Bill had from day one. He told me that from day one of our partnership. And I would tell you guys just what Alok said, just the same exact thing. That's the plan. The plan is not to become you know, me or the licensee of me. Like, I didn't want to be a licensee of Bill. I mean, I did, but not eventually, ultimately. You know, you like Alok said, you want to be your own entity. You want your own ideas, your own point of view, your own face, your own personality being out there. That's the way you get in the business, you know, to share your ideas, not somebody else's. But to get started is what we're talking about. To get started and to make money while you're learning. That's the concept.
Steve, I can probably say this as well. Is that, you know, if you're already in the business and you're middle of the road type level, you know, making $100,000 to $150,000 a year speaking, I think, you know, there's obviously room to grow to make more money, but to be able to take a tool of tricks that you can now apply to what you're currently doing would be tremendously valuable as well. Because you obviously are what you're doing is taking you to the $150,000 level, but what's going to take you to the $1 million level? That, at least that's the way I look at it. So, you know, that. It's not just the new guy. It's the middle way speaker as well, making anywhere middle. In my opinion, is anyone under $200,000 is what I consider to be in the middle. You know, for them, it makes a lot of tangible sense as well because now they can add to the content of what they already have.
Now, you know, you're totally right. I just got an email just maybe an hour ago from National Speakers Association from the editor of their new magazine. I mean, not their new magazine. The new editor for this year for the magazine. And he asked me to write an article on that exact subject. It was funny you said that. He just said, we want you to write a 500-word article, and then they want me to go on VOE, the monthly CD audio recording they send out to the members. And they want me to talk about in detail how, as chairman of the Million Dollar Speakers Group for NSA, you know, how is it that in this worst recession of all time, there's this small group of speakers in the world that can non-celebrity speakers like we are, that go out there and make millions of dollars over and over and over, whether it's a recession or no recession. That's what the guy said. He said, I want you to, I've never heard of this guy, but he's a new guy, but he said, you know, I want you to talk about that in detail. How does that happen? No one can figure it out. So what, you know, except this small group of people, what do they know that everyone else doesn't know? And there's a bunch. I mean, that's not a hard article to write, I can tell you guys. But one of the key things is leverage. It's exactly, and, you know, I've spoken about this for Nito Cobain. I've spoken about it for Bob Proctor, all over the, for Brian Tracy, for all kinds of groups. And a lot of times people just look at me. They just look at me like they don't understand the concept. So I don't know if you guys are thinking that or it makes sense to you. I know it made sense to Alok. It made sense to me when I met Bill Gove. And, you know, it's made a lot of us a lot of money. So if you guys see it, we'd love to have you apply. I can't guarantee you're going to get in, but certainly we'll consider your application and, you know, appreciate you being on the call and appreciate you applying if you do. And, Alok, I appreciate you being on. Thanks for all your words of wisdom and also for your success. And, man, I'm looking forward to sharing the stage with you more. We had a blast and made a few bucks too, you know?
Yeah, no, thank you, man. Thank you for the opportunity. And if you're on the call, thank you for listening. I appreciate it greatly.
Yeah, it's great stuff. Well, I appreciate it, everyone. Have a great night. Thanks for being on, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care.